Did they say that there's no predicate in Finnegan's Wake?
No, there's not.
That verb and are not included in my No, object. So you got the noun, angels, and then there's no verb and no object.
There
no
are
verb
verbs
and no object.
And there are verbs in Finnegan's Wake.
Right. So what is the predicate that there isn't any of in Finnegan's Wake?
Sense.
Predicate would be sense. So you have the sense. Angels are not a product of my sightedness.
Okay, Bob, what would be the predicate of the sentence of...
I'm just dealing with this sentence. I got this sentence. Angels are not...
You can't make...
Angels are not a product, or whatever he said, of my sightedness. What is the predicate in those words?
Every word after angel.
Not are? You're including the verb are?
Does the verb are come after angels?
Yeah. So you're including that. Maybe that's not a verb.
Yeah, Bob.
So are not in my sightedness. So what is another meaning for that, that clause? Is a predicate. It's not the object. Is there an object in that sentence?
Angels.
No, that's the subject, isn't it?
What did you ask?
What is the object in the words are not included in my sightedness?
You're talking about the object.
Trying to find out what the word, I've been checking out, looking into this, what the word predicate means for about 40 years. No answers yet. Maybe you could get it today.
Joyce, look it up.
I'm there. Okay. The first definition is something that is affirmed or denied of the subject. In a proposition in logic. B, a term designated
that.
A property or relation. Now the next definition is there. The part of a sentence or clause that expresses what is said of the subject and that usually consists of a verb with or without objects, comments, or adverbial modifiers. An example would be, in the sentence, the child threw the ball. The subject is the child. Predicate is through the ball. So as Ion said, it's everything after the subject.
So it includes the verb. It's the verb and the rest. Is predicate. So it's not the object of the sentence. It's the words after the noun.
It includes the objects. Yeah, everything for the subject.
Everything after the subject, okay.
Because you can say everything after the noun, there might be nouns after the initial.
So it's like an action, and so you can't see what the final action of Finnegan's Wake is, or original action, the original ra'i or gesture.
So does that clean up a 40-year trail of tears?
I think it helps, but we'll speak tomorrow.
No. Good. So what was the predicate of that sentence?
Which sentence?
I think it does.
What's the sentence?
I think it does.
I guess think it does is the predicate.
That's exactly correct. Kudos to Bob. Make a note.
There's a 40 years of...
40 years. You know, that was about 3 hours of effort in those 40 years. But
well, Sheila, now help Bob with the pluperfect tense.
Ah, no, we could do that. That's impossible.
I know that. Honey, we a conjugator from hell. We can do it.
Yeah, it's Sheila, do you know what the pluperfect is?
I've heard examples of it, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Is it the might have, you say it could have been, might have been. Is that pluperfect related, Ion?
Well, we haven't been doing this for 40 years, Bob.
Yeah, no, so I think maybe Joyce is looking it up, but I think when you go might have been or could have been, that gets into pluperfect senses or tenses.
Tenses. Very good, Bob.
What do you think, Joyce? You see that there? If you look up pluperfect,
well, the first definition is past perfect. and the second one is utterly perfect or complete. So that's not very helpful.
And the examples are, if it has the might-haves and could-haves in that, then that's enough.
No.
Not so much, Bobby Dim.
Nope.
Could have been, had been? Is that where you get into the perfect?
Bob, listen to what she's saying. She gave you a definition, and that's nothing compared to what you're trying to make it be. Listen to what the wordy words will help you here, Bob. Listen to the definition. Then we'll apply those words.
It's past perfect.
Past perfect. Okay. Past means past tense. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's a perfect tense?
Don't know.
Well, we're going to help you there too, baby. We're going to clean this shit up. We're going to do punctuation next, Bob.
Okay, so I think we can end now. It's been 5 hours.
We're going to do perfect tense.
Well, hurry up. You got a few seconds, so explain perfect.
Well, do-dee-doo-dee-doo.
No, he's not going to do it. Okay.
Hold on. She's looking it up, Bob.
Got it. I've got a distinction of form in a verb to express distinctions of time or duration of the action or state it denotes.
So past perfect would be?
He had been? Those kind of sentences?
Vegas. I won money in Vegas.
What?
That's a good example, right? I won money in Vegas. Is that an example?
No, I think that's a simple sentence. I don't see any.
You got to have a time.
Yeah, I had won. Had won. I could have won if I had been in Vegas.
I got laid in Vegas. There's a time.
So just look at the examples, Joyce. Do they have had been, could have been, that kind of stuff? Then that's what it is.
I received a sore ass last week in Vegas.
That's not past perfect. That's just past tense.
No. Last week and at the time, it would be past perfect.
Here's a simple one. He had risen early that morning and had drunk coffee earlier than usual.
Right. So what's past pluperfect? Maybe there might have been and could have been a subjunctive pluperfect. Maybe that's what that is.
I thought we thought conjunctivitis was a disease.
No, subjunctive. So proof.
We're talking about the thing you put I salve in, Bob.
Right. So the might have, it's a bunch of had, have, been, could have been. I got that. Okay, that's it. Everybody say good night to Ion.
Everybody all in, all good, all done?
Good night, Bob and Ion.
Thank you, Ion.
Good night.
Thank you, Ion.
Therefore, we're totally happily and deliciously forever incomplete. Good morning.
Hey, JW.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Hi, JW.
Hi, JW.
Hey. What fun. Did we plow lots of ground?
We left a few bodies behind, but
well, that's pretty normal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hell, what's wrong? It just now ain't even 1 o'clock yet. What, was somebody sick? What's wrong?
Bob's spanking. Bob, shut you down.
The new rule. Oh. Well, I wondered. I thought I was sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I looked, and the sun wasn't up, and then I looked, and I thought, no, it can't be 10 to 1. That's just going to work time. Well, fine. Well, thank you all very much. This is great fun for me. I really do appreciate it. More than you know.
You're awesome. Okay, I'm Miss Barbara. I'm signing off. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Barbara.
Barbara.
Yeah.
I need your email address, please. It's Sasha.
It's Barb Peters 5692 at Comcast.net.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right. Get back.
See you later.
Bye, Barbara.
Are we still here?
We're still here.
Okay.
We're still here.
Hi, Joy.
You mean now I have to get my notes together, a document, huh?
No, I didn't know what you were thinking. that's what I was thinking, too. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to type all of this up, but...
Yeah.
Good. I think that'll be good for everyone else.
Yeah,
as me.
Can just be voluminous. Yeah, Sasha.
Do we have all of the newbies' email addresses, Sasha? I never got it.
I don't have Legends. I have Bob now. I don't think I have two.
I never got the last round of.
I sent them to Ginny, Steve, Legends, and Barbara, and Sue. Are you still here, Sue? Sue's gone.
What about Steve? Is Steve coming back, Bob?
Yeah. He couldn't make it today, but he's regular. He's going to be attending.
Good.
So I can send the three that I sent to Ginny to you.
Yes, please. Thank you.
And this idea is good of us. Doing a Wikipedia of everything, because I know I've got lots of notes that I'd love to share. I mean, some of them are great, some are useless, but, you know, at least we can post them. And, you know, that was the original idea even of the dupes, Bob, was to people to share stuff in their sessions, you know.
Right.
I just, I think that would be good to, I was just thinking about it after Ion said that, whether or not it should be more of an alphabetical system or a subject system, based system. What do you guys all think?
Well, you're the expert here, I think, Sasha, on that, so you could probably decide.
Well, I was just originally, I was thinking about it for a little bit, and then I thought perhaps doing a more of a dictionary type system, like alphabetical, system would be easier.
Sasha,
okay.
You're right.
You guys are going to have to add all of your notes. So, like, if we try and apply it to subject, because you know how it goes all over the place, like, it might be easier just to do, you know, A to Z and 1 to 0.
Well, how would you mean, like, categorizing all the topics we've gone through?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, we've got your 33rd parallel, and then, you know, within that, I mean, even the stuff we're talking about tonight, like White Pyramid, 33rd parallel, they'll start getting really messy after some period of time. So just kind of thinking about what would be the most suitable way to organize that.
You could make one big dump and then have people... or you or Joyce, who inclined, organize as they go through, have a parallel archive where it's in order. But you also have a dump side where people can just scan through, because scanning through can lead to connections that proper categories sometimes don't.
Well, I mean, like, I'm just thinking about it from a practical standpoint, being, you know, having built quite a few websites in my time, you know, you can have hyperlinks and articles, which is essentially what Wikipedia is, right? It's a length of, you know, you find one article and then you have a link to the next and the next, which would be ideal.
What was the word you used? Did you say a lattice?
Labyrinth.
A labyrinth, okay.
Yeah. So, which, I mean, that form would be ideal, but we're all going to be, my idea anyways was, were this to become like a living document so that we would all be able to add rather than having somebody editing the dump.
Right.
So, you know, it would be a...
Yeah, people can make their own categories.
Right. So it's very much like Wikipedia. You can go in and you can make your own whatever. So the best, what would be the best format to initiate it or to start the structure or the architecture of it? Would it be alphabetical or by subject?
Yeah, alphabetical. That includes subject. So you would make it alphabetical.
Right.
Yeah, like Angel, you know, and then...
Arizona.
Right.
Okay. Aperture
Arizona?
Science. Yeah, Phoenix, the dust bowl, the dust storm over Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't
we'll
hear
let
about
you,
that.
Fill
is that,
that in.
Recently, Bob, this dust storm over Phoenix? Is that
it happened today or yesterday. Someone, Tina sent me a YouTube to it, and someone else did. It's pretty incredible. It's huge. Tidal wave of dust floating over Phoenix.
They deserved it. They named themselves Phoenix.
Yeah. But. Yeah, maybe it was the Phoenix coming back.
Hey, did you get my email about the Twitter hack?
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to. I had that sort of ready to talk about, but we didn't get to. What was the main point of it? I didn't read the details.
Well, James is always going on about how all the banks are getting hacked into, yada, yada. And my friend Heather, who works for BC government, sent that this morning just before you guys were about to go on air, and I thought, oh, Bob might get a kick out of this. And it was essentially, it's somebody hacked into Fox News' Twitter account and said Obama had been assassinated.
Oh, yeah, I saw that sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it got displayed. So, it got displayed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And Twitter haven't commented on it, and it was I just thought that was really funny, because I mean, God knows how many viewers they have on Twitter. I was also thinking about a colleague that I have that says, you know, he said, oh, I don't follow the news, or I don't read the newspaper, or watch TV, but you know, I see things on Twitter, you know, and that's actually. You know, what made me perk up and smile because I thought, oh, God, here you go. Imagine the retweets from that. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. But that was such a fun thing then to do.
Well, I was going to talk about, well, I did talk about today about how do you know who's really in the Pentagon that's supposed to be protecting you? How do you know they don't turn the guns on America? And many people would say America has had the guns turned on it. You know, the Alex Jones and that.
Please, let me talk. Right,
so let me say this, Sasha. So that theme, Sasha, listen, that theme of saying that who knows, maybe Obama was assassinated. They don't want it known, so they put the notice out as a hack, calling it a hack, and yet he really was, but it was a signal to some people who needed to know that it was, and then something's different in the White House now.
Mm-hmm. Could be. But I was also going to ask you, I watched this conspiracy documentary on BBC a couple of nights ago about the Tower 7 during 9/11. And I was going to ask you, actually, who was the guy who was the head of counterterrorism?
The John guy who got killed?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask you, because who he was, he's like, I have to maybe go back and look at it, but it was a very brief interview that they all, I was really struck at how weird this guy looked. I was going to ask Ion.
You mean the head of protecting the towers, that kind of guy?
Yeah, no, like the U.S., you know, like.
Yeah, Michael, he's got Michael Weird, Michael Zwirsky or something.
And he has really strange eyes. I was looking at him thinking, fuck, he looks like an angel or a watcher or something like that.
Well, he looks
really strange.
If you're thinking of the guy, I'm thinking that he's very evil looking, and he's only like 53 or something, and he's the guy who was in charge of something around New York City, right, Michael?
He looks really. I don't know, but he just looks. He has very, very dark brown eyes. Like he almost looks like he doesn't have any eyes.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I'm saying he looks kind of like an angel. quite white, and his skin's quite white, but he's very, very, very brown eyes, and he just looks very, very strange.
Okay, that's another thing. You see, you wouldn't know who's in charge. That's why running for president or any of these things is totally irrelevant now. The public should get responsible and ignore politics completely and not rely on it in making their social lives or community lives work. Because they don't know who anybody is. And in the end, who's behind there, what they're doing. They could be aliens from other places.
But they don't even know who they are, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they think that they are the president, so they get mixed up and concerned about who's president, because that's an extension of themselves, because they don't know who they are. And then I thought about...
I think that guy knows who he is. You know, I don't often get a sense of, you know, like the hair standing up on my arms when I see someone. But
can you send the image then?
Yeah, I'll have to go back and find it on the BBC and take a screenshot. I was pretty tired while I was watching it, so I wasn't really paying attention. It wasn't that interesting, but, yeah, he was, you know, his face just keeps sticking out in my mind.
Yeah, I was thinking about how the election itself is like the Armageddon, the levels of heaven or whatever that part of the Revelations was, where the little man is having fights and wars, and the Ascended Man wouldn't even be around that. That's what this whole election campaign is going to be like that. It's a war among little men. Who in his ascended right mind would engage in it? But if you worked at a job where the boss said, we all have to pretend to support one presidential candidate and another, then you as an employee would be forced to engage in politics.
So when you're proposing going stealth, Bob, like in that,
yeah,
you know, the concept that you were talking about before, and if you imagine that, you know, we would be propelled into this kind of watchful society where everything is connected and your ideas connected with, you know, they're quite watching everything. Would you propose that you're just going to go along with the flow and make a gesture to a political alliance and whatever?
No, do things and not take credit for them.
What do you mean, do things and not take credit for them?
Well, if we produce Cold Fusion, we're certainly going to be stealth within that.
Just minor things like that, then.
Beg your pardon?
Just minor things like that.
Yeah, minor things like... No, actually, that's where you have to do stealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Hondiades exists, what else comes out of Cold Fusion? There's got to be two. What's the second thing?
Two by means of one.
Yeah.
Well, any other spin-off would maybe be something like anti-gravity.
That's true. Anti-gravity. Hmm. Or that's when booties or all of the other people watching us say, okay, you've got energy figured out, now we can make first contact, second contact.
Yeah, that's what the Evereen said, was the scenario.
Huh. And they said it had to be once you got your energy straightened out.
Yeah, we had to... Did I say that on the show today?
I think you did.
Yeah.
We had to do something that we could be proud of before we could be reasonably sanguine about being given other gifts.
Good word, sanguine.
Yeah. That was for you, Sheila.
Some would say sanguine. But...
Oh, yeah, that was for you, too.
And you can work on Ola.
Yeah, I can't. What is it?
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Yeah. I always stumble, read along, and I go, holy shit, I said the H, and then it's too late.
So, I was looking at...
What What, Sheila?
I was looking up the...
Because I had that problem moving back after living in Ireland because they say herb instead of herb. And I always used to...
Actually, H.
Wow.
H.
Yeah.
That's an H, James. H. H.
Mm, I'm Irish,
H.
So I use
not
that.
Not H.
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 I'd have to say S-
H.
H. L-A. Yes,
it's A-Y-C-H, not H.
This is how the Tower of Babel war started. H, not H.
It's
H. H. Herb, not herb.
Yeah. Right. Herb. What was herb. The telephone number to 911 again?
So, James, well, you've been here for the last few hours?
Yeah, last couple of hours, yeah.
I have to pass on a message from JWRI on working on the diagram. Take each ring and work with them separately.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Like, don't try to make something, making them connect or turn different directions, all touching. Break them all apart, 14 zones, and play with them each.
Yeah, sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was like I was listening to the last session that I had with Ion, Bob, when we were talking about the those that first had the chart, and I never caught this at the time, but I was listening to it the other day, and remember when Ion was saying that all of that there was on a stone tablet, but it wasn't on one tablet, it was all on different stones.
Yeah, what was all on different stones?
The chart. And the chart was held only by Ezekiel, Methuselah, and Enoch, and some priests that and other people that didn't really know was. But those three were the only three that had it, that knew of its significance. But Ion was saying, he said they were, he said that when they came together, he said it was kind of like the lines of a lotus.
Yeah. When the different rings came together?
No, when the stones came together.
Oh, yeah, the foundation stones.
No, well, I don't know. I basically was saying that the tablet, when I said, what was, you know, was it when the chart originally came out, was it on a tablet or was it carved on something? And then he said it was on stone. And then he said it was many stones. And then he said, and they all came together like the lines of a lotus flower.
When they were brought together by the three different guys you named?
Yeah. Yeah.
They fit together.
Yeah.
So that would be, so how does that relate to James's scene?
Well, I was just thinking about the pieces. Like you were saying, like Paul... each ring separately.
Yeah, pull them apart, like the parts of the tablets.
Right.
And that was the emerald tablet you're talking about?
No, angel chart.
Oh, it was on tablet form first.
It was on tablet form, but it was not on a single tablet. It
right.
was on many stones.
I forgot
and
about that.
Yeah, it came, they were on different pieces, and remember Ion said that it would be like, and they all vibrated, so if you had them on a tray on your knees, they would all jump.
Because yeah, yeah.
Really high charge.
So each one had a piece. Well, what would one-third of the diagram look like?
I don't know. But
it'd be an odd thing.
As you were saying,
the gyroscope. Sorry, Sasha, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about, you know, when the first came up for me when you said that, I was just thinking about the lines, not only the rings, but the lines that make them up. And when Chad really sent that diagram, when he was trying to draw lines extending out on the chart,
yeah.
I put into Photoshop and I was trying to do the same thing. So I was just trying to imagine, you know, the significance of each of those pieces, as well as the significance of the rings themselves.
Yeah. You were trying to you were thinking about it.
Right.
Did you come up with anything?
Nope.
It was just fun. Good process.
Hey, it was a thought, Bob. Okay. It was a seed.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good thought for James to consider.
Yeah, James, have you, I'm only guessing that your end game is to get all of the rings being in the rotating around the center, but, you know, if you could maybe see a gyroscope which has, you know, a fixed number of rings and take that movement of a gyroscope and put it toward all the rings.
But the thing is, I've got to take just one ring and apply the 14 degrees of freedom to that one ring, and I think that will be beneficial rather than just taking the whole diagram in. I think that's
the gyroscopic idea is what
he's limited to three.
To move away from them, be interacting, make them 14 separate worlds.
Yeah, I mean, applying phase, pitch, and amplitude into a motion is, I've still got to figure that out, heaving, swaying, tilt, spin, and some of the other things. Yeah, I can understand that, but that modulation aspect of a moving ring within a contained within something, I've just got to take one ring out and just modulate it around and play with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still a learning process, So
the ring would spin along its axis, then spin along the ring would roll, then it would spin along an XY axis. Is there another movement that it would do then?
Well, remember when Ion laid out the 14 degrees of freedom?
Barely.
Well,
he laid out 14 spin, tilt, twirl, those many words, right, James?
Yeah, that's
all
right.
The things, the plane.
Y'all, don't pitch, forget y'all.
Y'all.
Everything's
we had an example today of that. The 14 degrees of freedom came up, and the smarter people in the audience say, What's that? And we wouldn't give it to them. The smarter person realized, we ain't going to get nothing out of this cash flow. That's what they should realize. Because about five people immediately recognized the new phrase and wanted to know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, you can't even get your host to show up anymore, Bob.
James on assignment. Is that what you mean, JW? James?
Yeah, he's talking about James. But it's still, we're there, and I can't wait till people start to realize the pattern, like, wait a minute, we're listening, we're never actually going to get the good stuff here on this cash flow. And then what are they going to do?
Well, they're going to pay.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you can get it all, join, rewrite. I mean, it's...
So the ones that just don't really want to know, they won't listen anymore. It'll just play on the superficial level.
But then they can't really fuss and take on because you got more information out available right now for free than Jerry Nestor Hicks have done in 40 years.
I agree. I was listening back, JW, to what I in the beginning I took all of the early Ion stuff and just moved them, so I was on 34, or whatever that means, is cash flow, and I was listening back then. And I mean, if people just went back and listened to the early cash flows, damn, they'd get it all in a heartbeat. I mean, everything.
They'd find out what they didn't know. They'd find out there was something to know.
Yeah. And I was listening to Carolyn today arguing with Ion about, well, how can somebody who's got a depressed thyroid and don't have a fast metabolism lose weight, Ion? It's not possible. So cute. And Ion would go, okay, what's the thyroid attached to? What's that attached to? What's that to? What if it's that? What if it's that? The labyrinth of the mind. And Bob goes, oh, Ion 1, Carolyn 0. It was such a cool thing to listen to. you know, it's what, a year and a half ago, I guess.
Yeah, you're saying that was number 34?
Yeah, it was probably the 34th thing that I... Remember George Reno did a cataloging?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your list? So that's 34 would have been, oh, I don't know, maybe the...
No, we did 89 today. So it's basically it's two-thirds ago.
Okay, okay.
60 right. ago. Okay. Which is at least a year. That's over a year ago.
It definitely would have been that. Sure.
And that would be before we start doing the Bible.
Way before that, yeah.
Yeah, that's before we start the Bible in June. So
that was just after triangulation, wasn't it, Bob?
I'm not sure when triangulation started.
It's all this is about strangulation, J.W. I don't get it.
Triangulation, yeah. It has to do with a paper sack, right?
Yeah, that'd be interesting if triangulation was mentioned just before Revelation. Don't know if it was.
It was.
It was?
Oh, yeah, it was a major theme.
Before Ed and I did Revelations.
Yeah, yeah. I remember on the tailgate, people were talking about it.
Oh, okay. When Ian was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you guys, any of you guys listen to Mum? Ion's really was doing fine embedding with McLuhan stuff.
Oh, cool.
And if you looked at his YouTube, it's pretty neat. He's going to...
I saw he did a Mum sidebar. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's going to do both Mum. So I, just at the end of Cashel, after I said, could you take every excerpt you did in Mum last week or in previous Mums and put them on your website? So we have a Mum section. So you see the YouTubes or whatever that he took excerpts from.
Yeah.
And they'll just pile up. That would look good. Mm-hmm. Ryan said he would, I think he said he'd oblige.
Did anybody ask Ion if the Casey Anthony was going free in the morning?
Oh, he didn't.
No, we found that she was not guilty. That's what came happened on cash flow.
Oh, well, then she will. Good. Okay.
Yeah, she got off, I think. That's what Carolyn was saying, that they just announced she got off, and then we asked Ion if she was not guilty, and Ion said, that's right, she wasn't.
I know, but she was charged with 4 counts of lying to officials, whatever that means. And they said the maximum penalty was 4 years, and she'd already been waiting 3 years for her trial. So, just to be official, she's getting out in the morning at 9 o'clock.
You're saying that there were some extra charges after the murder, and she might have to stay arrested for another year?
Well, she was found guilty of 4 counts of telling false statements to police or some foolishness.
Yeah, so they're going to have, the prosecutor's going to have to save face somehow.
Yeah, why did she lie?
She's already been in jail. Oh, Bob, it's ridiculous. She made up nannies that are now suing her. And I don't know how fictitious somebody sues you, but just ridiculous garbage.
This is the States, J.W. Fictitious person can always sue.
Zanny the nanny, who didn't exist, has now filed a civil suit against her because she made her up. There we go. Here we go. That's the legislative branch giving the judiciary their run for their money.
But the point, why was all that she lying?
Well, she was, you know, her baby's dead and she's out party whoring and didn't even say anything for 30 days that her baby was gone. So, I mean, it's a...
Oh, okay, so she was...
lots of inconsistencies in her words.
Because she... So, it sounded like she did it, but she didn't do it, but she was all screwed up about it and didn't present it properly.
Well, no, she made statements to the authorities that turned out to be not true. And they, 4 times, she was found guilty of that.
I'm glad I don't follow it. I just saw a picture of it and said, that woman's guilty. That too, David. Look at that. Oh, man, that lying asshole. This is the picture I saw on Drudge. She looks evil.
Bye. Did Mexico buy 98,000 tons of gold?
What'd you say?
Did Mexico buy 98,000 tons of gold?
No comment.
That'd be that rich guy, the richest guy in the world there. He's working with JW to give me more fucking gold. I got so much now, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I was chatting to some gold trader yesterday, and he was just saying that. And I was like, interesting.
Remember, the richest man in the world is in Mexico, right?
Okay.
You know, on the
apparently,
Forbes level.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently, Margarita. Oh, but Margarita, she's so wise. She doesn't fool Margarita.
We're going to save
that's
up
the one
and
that
get him a cell phone.
What'd you say?
We're going to save up and buy him a cell phone.
Who?
To Carlos
Slim. The richest man in the world.
He doesn't have a cell phone? Yeah, he's like me. You know, when you're in our positions, you don't want to be called a lot. I don't have a cell phone. No members of the Secret Council can have cell phones. As Carolyn said last week, or I said, we got tin cans. Pull your string tighter.
But you know what is interesting about this Casey Anthony case is that the people in the public want blood. They want probably lynching.
Yeah, well, I looked at her. Just on the image I saw, she looked guilty. She looked evil.
Yeah, but that's a visual bias. It's not because a person looks like that and lies makes her a murderer.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had that impression that she looked evil. So okay, that's I know my mind got that, but I didn't act on it. I just ignored it. But I noticed that they presented me a picture that made her look evil.
Yeah, of course.
Well, if you want a picture of evil, you'd look at a picture of Nancy Grace. That's evil.
Yeah.
She's the one that was after she was exonerated. She was still saying that she's guilty. When they couldn't prove the case against her, so
yeah,
instead of being accusing her, she should be accusing the state or the prosecutor for not doing a good job. You know
right.
What I mean?
That's what I saw in the judge yesterday when I saw her evil face, and I think they said she got off. They had a picture of Nancy Grace upside down, trying to humiliate Nancy Grace. So
yeah.
I didn't know the details, but I figured she looked stupid or something because of the
judgment. Nancy Grace is who jumped on this and did the character assassination all for the last 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, she must be some bitch to work with.
No one will work with her. She works alone.
Does she? So she's out there creating, she's taking her own power. She's like Rush Limbaugh. She just creates realities and runs with it.
Well, but not this time.
This could be her end.
Yeah. Well, but see the ratings, it's about ratings.
Yeah.
Everybody's, that's all the rage. So she'll get a damn raise, Nancy Grace. Did I
can't wait till she gets on to us. I can't wait till she gets on to us, man. That'll be fantastic.
Did Ion say that they're going to make a movie about this already in cash flow? That seems very strangely familiar to me.
I don't recall. It might have been said quickly. When I re-listen, I hear all these little things I didn't notice during the show.
Yeah, he did say that.
Oh, he said that, eh?
Yeah.
But I heard that she's been offered Casey Anthony a porn movie.
Oh, no, that's been withdrawn.
Look at Margarita. Margarita's up on all this stuff. Margarita observes all this.
She was found. You see, it's against the law. If she'd have been found guilty, it's against the law for her to make profit off of it. But since she was found not guilty, she can make a fortune.
Hey, Margarita, do you know this stuff because your TV's on, because your daughter's got the TV on?
No, I just watch TV for distraction, as an entertainment.
At work?
No.
At home.
I don't have, yeah. At home.
You have it going on as wallpaper all the time? Audio wallpaper?
What, the TV?
Do you sit down and look, or are you doing other things when it's on?
Oh, both.
Both.
I do, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, why aren't you reading Shakespeare or reading Kant the Philosopher?
Nah.
Busy all day, every day, creating documents and pieces of paper and little scribblings all day, and then go read somebody else's scribblings. I don't blame you.
No.
That's the McLuhan point. You go from radio to newspaper to book to TV. You modulate the different environments, the different senses. You do visual at work, and you go home and do the tactile massage. At home with television.
And then when you get done with that, then you go, you obsolesce into Bob.
Yeah, you go listen to the archives.
Yeah, archives, gay porn, TV, Bob.
Good. Bob ain't in the ocean.
So, Margarita, what did you think of Midnight in Paris? Boy, that was pretty interesting. It turns out that they didn't say ion, they said positive ions. Did you know that?
Yeah, they say, yes, I know.
But you just extrapolated ion out of it.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Yeah, yes, like Sheila saw it. Say something to Sheila about it. She saw the movie. See what she says. If we could hear Sheila.
I don't know what is
here. Sheila here?
No, she's not really here.
In a vacuum.
She's ridiculous. Her big house swallows her phone.
So what do you think, Sheila, about the movie?
I loved it. But, I mean, to me it was because Paris was so beautiful in it. So.
It was a travelogue for her to go back home.
Well,
you know, she,
plus all the artists, they went back, and that was brilliant. And it was funny.
So, Margarita, basically, though, there was a heavy Bob vibe, and you got goosebumps. That's what I, you know, Margarita, I've been getting that for years. People say this movie is about me. So what do you think? Why would that be?
Well, the main character of the movie is in Paris. Definitely, I make that connection with you, and then he travels to the 1920s parallel world.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What?
No, it's literally my story, and I'm just wondering what's happened now. Woody Allen was very involved with McLuhan, and one day I was walking. He's always appreciated Marshall, and when Marshall's he put him in the movie, and then a couple of years later, the university closed down the center, and I have all the letters from various people who wrote to the university saying, don't close down the center, and Woody Allen he lobbied for them to keep the center open. So he appreciated McLuhan, and I bet you a lot of his comedy, because it's intellectual, What's New Pussycat, whatever those movie, that interesting movie he first made in the mid-60s, probably was influenced by McLuhan books in that, the way it got him thinking. But so there's always been this interesting vibration between me and Woody Allen. So one day I was walking through Central Park, and this is about, 10, 12 years ago, and there he was walking along with the Japanese or whatever it was, wife he had, the mm-hmm. Korean or
daughter.
Something.
He was the daughter.
Yeah, he married his daughter or something, and it was pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. They both looked at me. And it was like, they knew who I was, I knew who they were. We just nodded like we're just old buddies in the same apartment building. It was a very interesting vibe. And I'd never met him before, but I knew a lot about him. So it was like our non-physicals were nodding us because we both were involved with McLuhan. Now, back in the 70s, Sue Bone was a good friend of Carol and I. She in the 70s was a spitting image of Diane Keaton in Annie Hall. So you have Sue Bone and me, Woody Allen, and the whole Annie Hall thing. So that was an early, what I call media synchronicity or xenochrony.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting the way it was. It was like, it was very just normal or something.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was, the way the vibe he gave off, he had no self-consciousness about himself. He's just a guy who works in New York and making movies all the time. Not dressed well, nodding at people, I guess, or something, who recognized him. He's a pretty smart-looking guy. But he looked pretty bad when he was interviewed on 60 Minutes over the scandal of his daughter. And he's sitting there being interviewed and holding a pillow, clutching a pillow to his chest like a little kid.
That was scripted. Come on, Woody Allen is smart. He knows how he looks on stage. He scripted that totally.
He scripted to look like an idiot?
Well, for some benefit, yeah.
He's aware of his self-image.
Yeah, well,
he's behind the camera. He knows what he looks like, you know, and so I can only assume that's scripted.
Well, that's what was shocking to me. He actually didn't look in control. He looked upset and revealed too much of his private self in his face.
Hmm.
His agony. That's what I was surprised by. Yeah.
Struggling with his media body.
Yeah.
And a lot of his movies do show that, so.
Yeah. He does do McLuhan themes very rudimentarily. He's the book guy wandering around trying to figure out what's going on, right? He's visual space. With his glasses.
Yep.
Tim Leary made fun of him. Like Tim Leary said, I'm California, and Woody is New York, and New York is 19th century, and we're 20th century, and Woody's movies are stupid. He should take LSD. That's what Tim Leary did. But that's what McLuhan said. I was with McLuhan right after he did the movie, and there was a Monday night seminar, and it came up, and he said, well, Annie Hall's about the battle between New York and L.A., and he had written that New York was a 19th century power and L.A. was a 20th century power. So the movie is about those two media dynamics, those two centuries. So remember Woody goes, I haven't seen the movie again, I don't think in 40 years, but I remember he goes to L.A. and he's kind of shocked at the phony movie record industry world there. Do you remember that? And so he runs back to literate New York.
Which one was that?
This is Annie Hall.
Where are you going?
He goes to California for some reason, and he has to deal with all the new media moguls, and he hates it. His joke was something about, oh, yeah, so the advantage of being in California is you can turn right on a green light.
You mean a red light.
If you use
a red light. What?
Or a green light. If you use
green light. That's Joe's when the last time I was in a car.
What was that, JW?
If you yield at a green light in California.
There you go. Yeah, it's like driving in Montreal. A green light means good luck.
So in L.A., you can turn right on a red light.
You can most anywhere.
Yes.
No. Okay,
yes.
My joke.
Yes, you can, but you don't have to.
So there was something about that kind of driving light thing, that light dynamic that was the joke, but I wouldn't know enough about driving to know what it was.
JW, that's why I see people here, obviously from either upstate, sitting at a red light and not turning right until it goes green. You don't have to.
Right, but you don't have to. You may if it's clear, but you don't have to.
Okay. I know when I moved from Toronto here, JW, boy, the driving habits were like night and day. Everything just slowed down. The green lights were longer, the red lights were longer, and it took me a couple of years just to settle into that whole different driving pattern. And I go back to Toronto, and, you know, Saturday afternoon, you know, 17 lanes of the 401, and there's traffic jams on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, right. Okay, I get it, man.
Well, I mean, it's like here in Atlanta, same thing. I mean, if you're going to shuffle around, you better get where you're going by 3 o'clock, or you ain't going to get there till 6.
Yep, yep. Yeah, when I worked in Toronto, I mean, the client had to have a big purchase order for me to stay around past 2:30. I already planned my exit out of the city at 2:30.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. That's crazy. So.
But, you know, seeing it, but then, too, the size, you know, of Atlanta, to, you know, you're talking about a town 50 miles across, hell, you got, you know, there's all kind of anything, anywhere makes gridlock. Did we go away?
I guess that's the end.
No.
Oh, no, we're here? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Palmer, did we cover anything tonight?
We got close, but nothing definite.
Guess we learned not to do it again, eh?
Yeah. Oh, no, we learned we're going to have to do it again.
Big black box under the
thing. That's
I
right.
I personally absolutely loved Ion's analogy with Brian about the his windshield and the headlights.
Yeah.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Fan-fucking-tastic. That was so good.